We're moving into a new year. You watched your calendars, and this is it. Many of you will be propped up to make New Year's resolutions that you can't keep. But hopefully at the end of this service, you will be reminded of the greatest commitment that you could possibly ever make in your life. Today's sermon is called The Lordship of God. And I would put towards you that if anyone doubts that God is Lord, you have a big problem. We have a big problem if that happens. But yet, there are people in this world who deny God, deny His existence, deny His deity, deny His power, and deny His movement. We know that the world is a crazy place. And I often frame my messages by saying the world is in a state of flux. There's wars being raged right now on the various continents. There's rumors of wars. We look at China and Taiwan. We know what's happening in Ukraine at the present. There's tribal war still going on in Africa. This place is a crazy place. We know that the world is divided politically between the right and the left, the center, the left of the left, and the right of the right. People get adamant and worked up in our political fields. The world is a crazy place. Here in Canada, we have a lot of troubles. The government needs our prayer. Our prime minister needs our prayers. We think on the ideological stage, abortion is widely accepted, the killing of our innocent children in the safest place that should be, in the mother's womb. It's accepted. It's scary. There's gender dysphoria, where a male can say they're female, and a female can say they're male. A cat, kitten, or whatever. Our world is in a crazy place. Popularity, prominence, and power seems to be the trophies of the day. People are searching for false gods, looking for purpose and meaning in the wrong places. Our world is in a crazy place. Our world is in a crazy place. We know that Satan seems to be, or for some people, Satan seems to be winning the war. However, I want to make a declaration. And this whole sermon is more a declaration. It's a statement that I'm making. And it's a reminder. I tell you that Satan's authority and power are limited and are subordinate to God the Father. Let me say that again, because I heard a few amens, and I like amens, and I like a few hallelujahs. Satan's authority and power are limited and subordinate to the power of God the Father, right? We know that the battle is already won. Christ right now stands as king of this world. He stands as king of your life. He is not subordinate, and he is not limited. His kingdom is invisible, and not everybody acknowledges him. Unfortunately, people are still giving their allegiance to the prince of darkness rather than the prince of peace. In Scripture, and I'm going to compare Satan and Jesus. And for the first time, I feel a little bad for Satan, because to compare Satan even to Jesus is such a disservice to Jesus. And but nonetheless, for argument's sake, the one I'm building up to, in Scripture, Satan is referred to as prince of this world. Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. And the god of this world. And we know that many people, whether willingly or unwillingly, serve Satan. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? There's people out there that actually either willingly or unwillingly serve Satan. However, let's make another descriptor and a contrast to Jesus. Jesus is light of the world. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That means there's no other king above him and no other Lord above him. He is it. Jesus is our deliverer. You were born a sinner. And guess what? We still sin. But Jesus Christ, on his redemptive act on the cross, forgave us of our sins. Forgave us of our sins that we may have life eternal. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the wonderful counselor. And we as believers are not controlled by Satan because we believe in him. We have been set free from our chains. And I preached on that several Sundays ago on freedom and liberty, that we may have that life, that abundant life that we are promised. Knowing that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in our life, and a lot of bad things are going to happen in your life and probably already have, terrible things. Regardless of all that, it does not change the character of God and who he is. He is Lord of our life. Colossians 1 and 13 reads, he, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. God has delivered us. Satan's power is restricted to the unbeliever and is temporal. Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his incarnation, his resurrection, and his ascension has dealt a serious blow to Satan's power and his work on earth. Satan is weakened, and the war that he rages for our souls is diminished. All things will be brought into captivity on that day when we stand in judgment, the believers. Judgment for what? For our sins? No. A life review is done, and our judgment is for rewards that God has ordained for us, the crowns. But for those who have denied them, who had denied him, and are judged according to their sins, woe is them. For their reward, for their consequence, is eternal damnation. That alone, knowing God's lordship and what he represents, puts fear and reverence into our souls. We know the end of the story. We're given this holy book, 66 books put together in one binding that tells us the beginning to the end, tells us that we who believe will live forever, but those who deny him will be punished, right? Broad is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to life. We know that. People still refuse to accept. It's their choice. God has created into us that mechanism where we could choose to accept or reject God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Heaven is a great place. It's not a place for vacation. It's a place for a long life residence. There is a hell. It's painful. It's hurtful. It's a place I don't think many people want to go. And if they do, they're foolish. They're idiots. They're stupid. If they choose to do that, And I'm bold enough to say that. And you're bold enough to believe it. There isn't a heaven and hell to choose. For those people who reject God, who are perhaps searching, don't have the answers to the questions that they have, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in the Lordship of Christ. In Him, the sick, the hurting, and the disenfranchised, and the weak are invited to come to Him. The sick find healing. The hurting find peace. The disenfranchised find a place of belonging. The ignorant become wise. The dirty become clean. Bad men become good. Good men become better. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ is the answer to all the world's woes, to all the world's conflicts. Jesus Christ is the answer that surpasses all understanding. It takes faith. And there's a whole sermon on faith alone. I could preach on that. Jesus is the Lord of the dead. He's the Lord of the living. As such, we have hope in Him that we can have that life eternal. His Holy Spirit gives us a renewal at the stage that we give our hearts to the Lord. And there's people who are probably going to be listening through this, through the PPT site and through YouTube. There's a way that your life can be renewed. That's by accepting Jesus Christ, believing in Him, and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to work within you, renewing you, changing those things that need to be changed, breaking those things that need to be broken, remolding and refashioning those things that need to be reshaped into the image that God has planned for you and has intended for you from the day you took your first breath, from the day that you were first conceived in your mother's womb. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose. And of course, we were created to worship Him. Christ has given His lordship, His authority by the rightful association of who He is. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. He is the God, capital G, not a God, lowercase g. There are no other gods before Him. It is just Him. The great I am. Christ Himself says, talking about His authority and His lordship. It was on full display when He spoke these words in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And I'll just read 18 for this matter. He reads this. And like, this is the Word of God. It's pretty simple. It's easy to understand. So here we go. You ready for this? All. Well, what a word to start with. All, everything, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Whew. Now, that's lordship. Man, that's authority. Wow, that's power. That's entitlement right there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know what Lord means? Ownership. Ownership. Psalms 24, 1 and 5. Just let me read just a few verses. And it's powerful stuff. Whenever you read the Word of God, it's powerful stuff. It gives me chills. Look at this. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Wow. The world and those who dwell therein, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Everything belongs to the Lord. It's His. God did not have to sign His name in the sky and the expanse of the tapestry with the stars, moon, and all the celestial bodies. He didn't have to go, I am God. Mere creation denotes to us that there's got to be an intelligent designer greater than just things mystically and magically appearing through a process of evolution. God created. God did not have to plant a flag on top of a mountain. He didn't have to put a time capsule in the bowels of the earth to be opened later on to declare, "I am God, your Lord." He didn't have to brand the cattle, the livestock off this earth, for he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, Scripture tells us. He didn't have to put a buoy out in the oceans, putting off a beacon. God is Lord. He didn't have to put a satellite in space, beeping out a message. I am Lord. All creation declares his glory. God is Lord. 1 Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him, for him. Down to the smallest particle of matter that science has discovered, to the greatest expanse of a nebula or a gaseous body in space, all things are his. All things belong to him. God is Lord. Every dot, every tittle, everything. Exodus 3 and 14, how does God describe himself? I am. I am. Wow. All inclusive. All powerful. All present. All knowing. The Lordship of God is unequivocal. And all glory, all honor, and all praise belongs to him. And listening to the music this morning, and listening to Mary Lynn and the worship team, you know, just leading us into worship, into these beautiful songs that edify who God is. Beautiful harmonies were coming out. Wow. We have a God worthy of praise. We have a God worthy of honor. Yes, we do. Yet the world will reject that. The mere thought of his name, God, sparks wonder and mystery and humility. The title of Lord is not also so much about the title itself, Lord, but what it does within us that causes us to be, or should cause us to be, obedient, reverent, and humble before the King of all nations and the Lord of the universe. To be humble and respectful and reverent. God's holy presence, his holiness is tied to his lordship. You can't separate them. His lordship and his holiness demanded Moses to remove his sandals in his presence. Can you imagine being confronted by a burning bush that would not burn? And now all of a sudden, from the bush, a voice, take off your sandals. This is holy place. Guess what? The Holy Spirit lives within you. He's active within your life. He leads you. We must listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead. This is holy place. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a holy place, for the Lord your God resides within you. Whoa. That's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing that we have been blessed with the opportunity to host the Holy Spirit, God. And he created us. It's amazing. When Moses was up in Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, Moses wanted to see the face of God. And God's like, hey, Moses, it's a great request, but, you know, this can't happen. You can't see me and live. So what did God do? God took Moses and hid him in a cleft of a rock. And as he passed by, God put out his hand so that Moses could not see him other than the back. But when Moses came down from the mountain, Scripture tells us that his face shone. Shone actually was bright. It let off light because the holiness of God was there. Wow. Moses had to put a veil on. Imagine his skin so bright. Isaiah, I want to read this one to you because, once again, it gives you a perspective on the majesty, the greatness of God. Isaiah 6 reads as follows. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the sacrum. One had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and his house was filled with smoke. And look what Isaiah says. And this is a good part. I got it bolded. And I, Isaiah, said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Mm-hmm. And I dwelt in the midst of the people of unclean lips. Mm-hmm. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Man, oh man. Imagine having that opportunity, that privilege to see those images that Isaiah said. Caused him to say, woe is me. Would we prostrate ourselves down as low as we can at the holiness of God, at the presence of God? What a day. We sing a song sometimes in church. What a day that will be. With my Jesus, I will see. Wow. My mind can't go there. Like, what is that day going to be like? Is it going to be full of worship and singing? Are we going to be humble that we, at all, that we can't say a word at all? Perhaps. Maybe. But I can tell you, it's going to be like no other day that you've ever experienced. God's holiness, his lordship, is sure and it's fast. The ancients, when writing the name of Christ, of God, the writers of the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, when they wrote the name God, they would take out the vowels, Yahweh. Or when they wrote the word Jehovah, there was reverence, there were ceremonies in doing that. Moses in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 uses the Lord as a substitute for Yahweh. Yahweh was such a reverent word. He goes, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Why? Because he's the God who created the universe. He's the God who made it possible that your soul could be saved, your sins could be forgiven. And he's the God who's given you a new life in heaven, eternal, with him. When referring to the Lord as the title of God, it demands respect. It's not the same way. If I were to mention President Biden, I don't say that with the same respect as we say Lord our God. When I say Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, I don't say that the same way as I would say God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. There's all kinds of titles of leadership, and those people who demand a lot of control in this world and have control and abuse it, and, you know, some hopefully for the better. The title of Lord in context to God is far standing and far greater than when I would use it in any other context. I'd like to read a few words, a few titles of God that come from Scripture that have some descriptors. Think about Adonai, Hebrew word meaning Lord, Master. Elohim, God. Elohim, the Most High God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Great titles. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord who sacrificed. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. There's a great story on that and a good message. I'm going to preach someday on that one. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Boy, I tell you, we need leading. If I had to lead myself, I don't know where I'd be. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Sabbat, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And Kwana, which is jealous Lord. God's jealousy equals his love. Did you know that? God is a jealous God. He won't have any other God before him. Now, of course, we need to have love. The Scripture tells us if we don't love, then we don't love our neighbor. For God is love. We have to love. But God is a jealous God. His wrath is a real thing. His wrath is a real thing, and we have to be careful. We have to be aware. But these great titles show us that God has lordship. The Lord is peace. The Lord is there. God is our only hope. Psalms 46, 1 and 1. Gives me chills when I read this one. Chills, just absolute chills. I think I text Mary Lynn. Like when I read this scripture, and this is not the only scripture, but when I read this one in particular, and I've heard it preached, it just like, this is amazing. Psalms 46, 1. Let me read a few verses. And I'm not going to read it like, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our hope. I'm not going to read it like that. You got to read this one with a little bit of gusto. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is our refuge. God is your refuge. Christ is your strength. The Holy Spirit is your help when you're in trouble. And when you're not in trouble, guess what? He's still your refuge. He's still your help. He's still your peace. God is Lord. God is the Lord. There's a day that's coming when every knee will bow. There is a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue, your tongue, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The naysayers, the deniers, those who don't believe will be humbled and crippled to confess that he is God and he is Lord. And that day, they will believe and they will see the mistake that they made. And like Isaiah, woe is me, woe is me. But on that day, can you imagine the chorus of praise that's going to be bellowing in those halls? Can you imagine the praise when All the hosts of heaven and all the hosts of the earth will sing the praise of God. Can you imagine that? The sound that would make, the feeling. You ever been to a hockey game, whatever your favorite team is? Mine's Montreal Canadiens. I'm a smart man. When your favorite player scores or your team wins, and then there's an echo of just cheering and stuff like that. I took my daughter to a Montreal game many years ago, and she was a young girl, and she was fairly quiet. Some of you know Jennifer. She's changed a lot. She's not so quiet anymore. At that game, I seen this young, fairly quiet girl turn into a monster. Go Montreal, we're winning, da-da-da-da. She was up in her seats, and it was it was amazing. I was in awe. There is a day coming. And we're going to be there. And we're going to bow and give God the due because He is Lord of our lives. Gives me goosebumps. He's undeniable. Did you know that Christ was the Lord? This is powerful. Christ was the Lord who realized that it was better to come off the cross or die on the cross with a host of people watching, to go to heaven, dying on the cross, than to come off the cross with a host of angels. Now, think about that. If He had come off the cross, being delivered by a host of angels, what would that have done to the redemptive story of the cross? Boy, we'd be in trouble. We'd be still doing sacrifices with animals. There'd still be a Holy of Holies that would be in a separate room with the Ark of the Covenant. Instead, now, by dying on the cross and people watching as He bled and as the thorns pierced His head and His nails went through His palms and hands, bleeding from His side, whipped and bruised and battered and torn. Wow. He stayed on the cross because He loved you. A good Lord is not a Lord that would lord over you and force you and make you do things. He led by example. He led by example and became a servant to serve and not to be served because He loved. That is a true Lord. He is the true Lord. Powerful. It's no wonder the prophet Isaiah spoke, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Folks, and those of you listening, Jesus is near. Your Lord is near. And He's the answer to whatever you're experiencing. God's lordship was penned. Moses pens this. He goes, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." This is my God. God has become my salvation. God has become your salvation. Moses later says, "The Lord is my banner." Why? Because there's a banner over me. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, remember? "Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Banner over me is love." Right? When we go into battle against Satan, that banner of love is over me. And God is my protector. He's my defender. He's my strength. Brothers and sisters, let me put it this way. I call you brothers and sisters because you're my brothers and sisters. We have a great inheritance. We have a sonship with God. We brought into the family, brought into the fold. And I'm going to conclude with this. Sometimes I think I preach too long. I'm trying to cut that down. But if I have a word, I'm going to preach it whichever way it is. I don't apologize for that. But let me say this. We're going into the new year in 2024. I'm guilty of, this is what I'm guilty of. And I go through the day, I'm caught up with work, whether it's, military stuff I do, whether it's the humanitarian stuff I do for Ukraine, whether it's the church stuff, whether it's family, whether it's like my personal interest, reading or whatever it is. I get caught up in the day. And I often neglect my responsibility to God. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of it. I spend too much time on this, and not enough time on that. I openly admit that. I'm guilty of it. I'm working on it. I need help with it. But I think we're all like that, or most of us are like that. I'm always honored to be in presence of people who know where they stand in relation to God and the relationship. 2024 is coming in. I started off by saying a lot of people are going to be making resolutions that they can't keep. But let's make this one commitment. And not to call it a resolution. Not to make it a promise. Let it be your Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let's make God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Lord of our lives in 2024. And let 2024 be the model for the years coming in 2025, 2026. God is our Lord. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Shepherd. He's our Banner. He's everything. We belong to God. We were created to serve Him. And we should. Those people are listening out in, we'll call it radio land, as we used to say years ago, social media land. If you do not know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not believe in Him. And maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and opening your eyes and opening your heart, opening your mind to the truth of who He is. I would suggest that you need to accept Him today. And if you're believing that way, and if you're thinking that way, and you're feeling that way, I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You ask yourself, how do I do that? Well, we're going to say a sinner's prayer that will going to change your life. Change your life in ways that you won't believe that it possibly could be changed. And this prayer is as follows. And I will ask the congregation to repeat it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. And that you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and ask you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, if you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You have new hope, you have a new faith. I tell you, brother, you have a new story and a new journey. Jesus Christ is Lord. Keep Him Lord of your life. In all things, keep Him Lord of your life. For He is God. And everything that word means, it's far greater than any other earthly title or description that you give. In fact, I would probably even suggest that the words that the English language uses to describe Him does not describe Him totally. If there's anybody here today who needs prayer, there are a lot of people who need prayer for sickness. This year has been bad for sickness, it seems like. Wherever you turn, cancer is raging. People are suffering from mental illness. People are suffering from grief. There's so much people need healing from. If you need peace in your life, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you made the sinner's prayer, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you are a child of the King and you just want to rededicate your life to God and for the new year, to give Him two thumbs up, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you're part of this church, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And we're going to have a prayer and a simple time of worship to start the new year. So when Marilyn starts, please. Our Heavenly Father, this day is yours. This year that it's gone was yours. The year that's coming is yours. Father, there are people hurting, people who are sick, people looking for direction, people who need you. They're standing here in front of this altar. They're standing here in proxy of other people. They're standing here faith believing in you, Father, for the answer to their woes. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move mightily upon them, healing them, giving them comfort, giving them peace, giving them a sense of direction and a sense of purpose. For in you, you are our answer. Lord, we give you glory, the glory that shone at your birth. We give you praise, as the host of heaven would praise. Lord, we acknowledge that you are our Lord and our God, our Savior, King and Lord of our lives and all that is around. Help us, Lord, to be the vessel, the people that you would have us to be. Help us to go into the world sharing the good news of who you are, the salvation story of the cross, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help us to be strong ministers, Lord, as PPT and as part of the larger church in Pembroke and Petawawa and the surrounding areas, Lord. Help us to be the ministers that those who are serving the Prince of Darkness and are lost in their sins, Lord, will come to know you, the light of the world, and have their life changed forever. Create us a clean heart, holy and true. Let us not lose our sight of who you are, our God and our Lord. Our God and our Lord. I pray an anointing, Lord. May your anointing be upon this church. Bless it within the new year. Bless it with growth. Bless it with the fruits of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be given multiple, exponentially among its people, among your believers. Father, in doing so, may you receive all of the honor, glory, and praise. We acknowledge you and we accept those things that you give us. We accept those things humbly, humbly. Father, as we go today and as Mary Lynn sings the last verse to How Great Thou Art, may people go with strength, with boldness, with a character that has victory. For we are more than conquerors. We're your children. And we thank you for that inheritance. We thank you for the legacy that you left, not only in the holy words, but in our forefathers that have gone before us, that have taught the way, that your name will be held high with a banner above us. Your banner is love. Help us to love. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to love our neighbors. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. In all things we say, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.